Over security failings in the run-up to the Hamas attacks last October. And the train drivers' union, ASLEF, has announced 3 more days of rolling strikes next month in its long-running pay dispute with train operators. BBC News.
And the news was read by Vicky Ellis. Alfie Moore's bringing us a well-oiled show from the home of WD-40 in just a moment. Milton Keynes is the destination. Knife crime is topping the agenda. But first,
on BBC iPlayer.
I've had an epiphany.
Tell me, would the epiphany be that you realise you made a massive mistake with Claire?
Well, that is sort of the gist of it, OK? But there is a lot more nuance to it than that.
The new series of Avoidance.
I am going to get her back.
What's your plan?
I'm just going to
ask her.
Starring Romesh Ranganathan.
Claire, I made a mistake. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. I think we should get back together.
Yes.
Yes, get it!
Oh, there's another dream.
Avoidance.
He's never going to ask her back. Not a chance.
Watch all episodes on BBC iPlayer.
Now, Alfie Moore is on the case as always in It's a Fair Cop.
Whoop, whoop. That's the yes, sound indeed. That I need. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound that I police. Whoop, whoop. That's the yes, sound that I need.
Hello, my name is Alfie Moore and welcome to It's a Fair Cop. The show where you, the audience, are sworn in to face the same policing dilemmas that I face in today's real case. I've had over 20 years as a Humberside police officer, but today I'm off my patch in Milton Keynes, Buckinghamshire. Yay! Milton Keynes is a UK home of WD-40, making it one of the best lubricated cities in the country. Even the mice don't squeak. And some of the local force, Thames Valley Police, known as TVP, are here as our special guests, including Ben Snuggs. Where are you, Ben?
Hello,
Ben.
Alfie.
Hello, Ben. Tell us your job title, please.
I'm the Deputy Chief Constable on TVP.
Oh, OK. Yeah. And by the end of this show, that number one spot may be almost out of sight. In today's show, we're going to focus on knife crime. In the last decade, the UK has seen a consistent rise in violent crime, particularly knife-related incidents, over 50,000 offences in England and Wales. In 2018, Theresa May's government launched its Serious Violence Strategy, which was a forerunner to Liz Truss's Serious Violence Against the UK Economy Strategy. Sandwich in between was Boris Johnson's I Don't Even Take COVID Seriously. And in 2019, the Home Office released Funding for Violence Reduction Units, VRUs. Anyone heard of these?
Yes.
OK. Well, it's good the police have that. they are a coordinated multi-agency response to tackling serious violence. We're here today because in the last 18 months, Milton Keynes have been trialling different approaches to tackling knife-related offences, including Operation Deter. Operation Deter includes a zero-tolerance policy whereby adults carrying a knife are arrested and remanded into police cells to be produced at the next available court. Before we begin today's real case, we asked our live audience, ever carried something about you that you shouldn't have? Let's have a look at a few of your responses. And this comes from Karen. Ever carried something about you you shouldn't have? Nail scissors when flying from Luton Airport. I couldn't take them and didn't want to lose them, and so I hid them behind the fudge in WH Smith and retrieved them when I flew back a few days later. This is from H, brackets, not the one in steps. Ever carried something about that you shouldn't have? Teenagers into centre parks hidden in the footwells of the car. It's time to swear you all in as police officers for the show. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. You're Nick Sunshine.
You're Nick Sunshine.
Right, you're all cops. Knife crime is an issue wherever you live, and today's real case starts at a team briefing when I was working in Scunthorpe and voluntold that I was involved in a knife crime action week. These biannual national awareness campaigns are now part of the Violence Reduction Strategy and are called Operation Scepter. named by a dyslexic James Bond fan. The Scunthorpe superintendent gathered everyone together and said, there'll be media scrutiny. I want results. Firstly, we put out the knife surrender bins, a facility for members of the public to deposit knives and blades anonymously. One bin was in the police station foyer, but we spread a few around town. We left a PCSO to keep an eye on them because it's really embarrassing when gang members turn up and carry the bin away. We put one in the Co-op, we even put one in Lidl, and to be fair, it blended in nicely with all the other obscure items in the middle aisle. I happened to be covering the front desk at Scunthorpe, Nick, when an elderly gentleman walked up to the counter. Interesting character, late 70s, wearing a tweed three-piece suit, a wax moustache and a trilby hat with a feather. I greeted him with a cheerful, good morning, and he responded by plonking a Waitrose carrier bag on the counter from which he produced a bladed article about 12 inches long and announced, morning, officer, Frank's the name, I want the superintendent. I said, the superintendent's a bit busy at the minute, sir. Perhaps I can help. It looks an interesting knife. It's not a knife. It's a World War II bayonet for use with a 9mm Sten Mark II submachine gun. OK, just checking you've not got the other bit with you today. No? Oh, good. Thank you for bringing it in, Mr. Franks. Would you like me to take it, or could you just pop it in the knife surrender bin in the corner behind you? Well, I've not come to hand it in. I'm here to make sure it's all right for me to keep it. Audience cops, Mr. Franks is walking about with a bayonet. Maybe Scunthorpe never surrendered. And the War of the Roses is still ongoing. Are we all happy with Mr. Franks and his bayonet?
No.
Yeah. A lot of no's? OK, some yeses. OK. Legislation around bladed articles and offensive weapons is not straightforward, and so we can't just throw you in at the pointy end, so to speak, without the appropriate training. Let's do that now. I'll name an object that someone has in their possession in a public place, and you decide if you think it's legal or not by shouting legit or you're nicked. We'll start with an easy one, a Ninja Death Star. You're nicked under Section 141 of the Criminal Justice Act 1988. People know what I'm talking about. They're like kung fu style throwing stars. When I was a kid, you could buy these on the high street and chuck them at your mates in the school playground before lighting a banger. Risk assessments have tightened up since then. For example, recently a school banned Dairy Lee triangles because of the sharp edges. Not even Bruce Lee could incapacitate you with a Dairy Lee triangle. That's another. Remember, legit or you're nicked. A penknife with a 3-inch folding blade.
Legit.
Legit, that's just on the legal limit of 3-inch or 7.62 centimetres. A penknife with a 1-inch locking blade.
You're
very good. You're nicked because it locks into a fixed position. It's classed as a bladed or sharply bladed article, contrary to Section 139 of the Criminal Justice Act. A 5-inch long corkscrew. Answer me if you're nicked. Can we have a mic to this gentleman? What's your name, sir?
Andrew.
Andrew, what's your thinking?
Just that a 5-inch corkscrew is quite big. Could be lethal.
Could be lethal. Well, perhaps if you use it quite slowly and screwed it in over a couple of minutes. Legit. What about a can of hairspray that you keep in the bottom of your bag in case you're violently attacked to use against a bigger and stronger aggressor? You're nicked. Offensive weapon, contrary to Section 1 of the Prevention of Crime Act 1953, because of your intended use. You're allowed to use reasonable force to defend yourself. You're not allowed to intentionally go out tooled up. Between you and me, there is a way around it. If you're stopped by the police, you could tell them that it's for your hair. Pepper spray is accurate to about 12 feet, so if you're thinking of achieving a similar effect using hairspray, you'll probably need the firm hold type. Just to clarify that point, the Prevention of Crime Act tells us that an offensive weapon is anything made, adapted, or intended to cause injury. Anything. Last one, then. A 5-inch long butter knife. You're potentially nicked. Under the 1988 legislation, remember the wording is bladed or sharply pointed article. In the 2005 case of Brooker versus DPP, the judge ruled that a butter knife without a cutting edge could be a bladed article. It's an aggravated offence if you're also in possession of a crumpet. Leads us nicely back into Mr. Frank's bayonet, which would be handy for toasting crumpets. And his question, can I keep it? And I replied, keep it, I think so. Walk around Scunthorpe with it? Probably not. Have you many other items like this, Mr. Franks? Yes, at home. I'm a huge fan of military memorabilia. Well, rather than you toting them all across Scunthorpe one by one in a carrier bag, perhaps I could pop round and take a look. Meanwhile, audience cops, is Mr. Franks in possession of a bladed article in a public place? According to the legislation, is he?
Yes,
he is. Could he have a reasonable defence or excuse?
Yes.
But let me be clear about the distinction between a lawful reason and a daft excuse. Almost everyone I've interviewed in possession of a knife said they were carrying it for their own protection. But the evidence tells us that is absolute nonsense. In fact, the reverse is true. Statistically, you're much more likely to be a victim of knife crime if you're carrying a knife. I'll repeat that. You're much more likely to be a victim of knife crime if you're carrying a knife. I think that's a really important message. Audience cops, Mr. Frank has clearly committed the offence of possession of a bladed or sharply bladed article, contrary to Section 139 Criminal Justice Act. Who says he's under arrest? Oh, we've got a hand up there. Can we get a mic? Hello, who are you, please?
Martin.
Martin, you're going to arrest Mr. Franks?
Yeah, zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance, OK.
Make an example of him. It's a perfect opportunity. First collar of the day.
What do you do, Martin?
I work on the railway.
OK, you know all about timely intervention, then. It's quite serious offence, Martin. This, the maximum sentence for an adult carrying a knife is, have a guess, maximum sentence? 4 years. 4 years. It's now two strikes and you're out, meaning an adult convicted of carrying a knife more than once will receive a mandatory minimum prison sentence of 6 months. Hands up if you're going to drop it off for him. Plenty of hands up. I like a bit of aiding and abetting. That's nice, OK. Who's just gonna let him take it home?
I would let him take it home, because it's in a Waitrose bag.
Yeah. Walking through the streets with a carrier bag with a knife in it. Let's have a chat with the cops. OK, op deter, zero tolerance. Any room for manoeuvre with Mr. Franks?
Yes.
Tell us your thinking, Ben.
My view is that we confiscate it temporarily in order to take it off the street and then deliver it back to him and he can keep it whilst we then do the wider inquiries to see what else he's got at his home address. I think that is a proportionate response.
Like it, Ben. Like it. So do they. And it's exactly what I did, and I told him I'd drop it off later in the week and take a look at the rest of his stuff. Time to get myself out of the nick. The Scunthorpe Action Week wasn't just about enforcement, quite the contrary, it was about raising awareness. And I visit retail premises, it's very important they know the law, especially around young people buying knives. What is the minimum legal age to be sold a knife in the UK? It's 18 in England, Wales, Northern Ireland. In Scotland, 16 if it's a knife for domestic use. Shops should ask for proof of age if someone appears to be under what age? Appears to be under?
25.
Very good. Yeah, 25. The initiative is called Challenge 25. Anyone who looks younger than 25 should be challenged in respect of knife purchase, alcohol purchase, or blind dates for Prince Andrew. If you are underage, who breaks the law? The buyer, the seller, or both?
Both.
Just the seller. Speaking of young people...
Tango Bravo 03, can you attend St Mary's School? Report a 12-year-old threatening another pupil with a knife.
On scene, I quickly ascertain that no one's in immediate danger. 12-year-old Joey is in a separate room being watched by a teacher. Next question is, have you got the knife? No. OK, what kind of knife is it? Not sure. Do we have anyone that's actually seen the knife? Always good to check the facts, as miscommunications are not uncommon. You may remember in the news, the police being informed by school staff after a 10-year-old pupil confided in a teacher that he lived in a terrorist house. You've already finished that one, haven't you? On this occasion, no one has seen a knife, but one of the kids overheard Joey tell another pupil that he had a knife, and so he'd better stop calling him names. Apparently, Joey had picked up a new nickname, and he didn't like it. Joey looked unperturbed, peering defiantly at me through a mop of shaggy blonde hair. You may or may not be aware that boys' perms are the very latest hairstyling trend. If I can pass on one valuable piece of advice from my generation to the young man of today, school photos are out there forever. I asked Joey what happened. Nothing. Do you have a knife or anything sharp on you? No, I don't have nothing. First decision, audience cops, am I asking him to turn his pockets out and his bag? Yes. Yeah, my copper's nose encouraged me to proceed. Joey, can you turn out your bag and your pockets for me, please? Is that class as a search? Yes. Technically, it's a Section 1 pace search. Once again, he reiterates, I don't have nothing. I look to the teacher in utter disdain. What's the matter, she asks. What's the matter? That's twice he said of instead of have. And you do nothing. And he's used a double negative. He turns out his pockets. At his age, I'd have pulled out a conker, bubblegum, maybe a frog. He pulled out a mobile phone, which was instantly confiscated by the teacher, who told him he could off it back at the end of the day. If he did turn out a knife, am I arresting him? 12-year-old, school premises.
Yes. Yes.
Quite a few arresters could be traumatised. I'm going to ask the police who are present, because I know that you've got the Act Now programme running as well. So, what's your name, please?
Ollie.
Ollie. What's your job, Ollie?
I am a staff officer to Mr. Snuggs here.
You're a staff officer, so that's a bit like a manservant.
Yeah. Yes. And, that is what it's like.
And most people will think I'm joking, Ollie, but we know that's true.
That is true.
We know that's true. So, Ollie, so you're a police officer. What rank are you?
I'm a sergeant.
You're a sergeant.
I would arrest. I would arrest.
Can we just speak to the man in charge?
With pleasure.
Ben, what's your instinct for young Joey? If he had a knife, is it snaps on? Are we arresting and throwing him into the Act Now programme, or?
Yeah, for me, come into custody and then you can do the diversionary activity from custody.
OK, the expedited diversion, which won't necessarily end in a criminal record for the... In fact, that's something you're trying to avoid, I understand, criminalising.
Absolutely. The idea is to educate young people, just as you are tonight, and to make sure they deter from future knife-carrying activity, definitely.
Thank you, Ben. Audience cops, Joey's been heard to say that he has a knife and he's emptied his pockets, the school bag. We're now considering a more thorough search. Feel that tension. I'll give you four options. Ask for a parent to attend, option one. Ask for the teacher, who's the same gender, to search. Just get him searched. Stop messing about. He could have a knife. Or I remember recent high-profile incidents and decide I'd like a long and uneventful policing career and say, I'll not bother. So, hands up, you're going to ask for a parent to attend? Yeah, I would say that's about 20% of the audience. But how long is that going to take? You know, they're probably at work. And is a teacher not acting in loco parentis? Do we have any teachers in? Hands up if you're a teacher. So what's your name, please?
Andy.
Andy, you're a teacher?
Yep.
What age group?
High school.
High school. So do you ever search pupils?
I haven't, no. It's
okay.
Heads of year job.
So the school where you work, the protocol is that you won't search pupils, or do you have that option?
There is searches for, like, vapes and stuff like that, yeah.
So you'll search for vapes? Okay. But not knives.
I'm not aware of any. There probably could have been.
Who's for just do it yourself? No one. No, honestly, no one in this room is gonna search a pupil in school if you think you may have a knife. Up there, okay. Hello, who are you?
David.
David, all right. David, can I ask for your thoughts?
If he's got one knife, he may have another. And your duty is to prevent harm to other people. So you search him.
You search him, you're happy with...
You've got an adult present, so you can do it.
Yeah, you've got an adult present, you're happy with the grounds. What do you do, David?
I'm a retired police officer.
A retired police officer. But I need to consider the grounds. No one's seen a knife, someone's heard him mention one. It's a bit hearsay. Bit of hearsay from a 12-year-old. My copper's nose is saying no. If the staff want to give him a pat down, that's up to them. But it's a no from me. I issue the child suitable advice, namely, if somebody's picking on you, then please tell a teacher, don't go full Rambo. Total waste of time. He'd no idea who Rambo was. And there you have it. All the evidence you need of a declining cultural enrichment within the school curriculum. On the way out, I discreetly asked the teacher, what's his nickname? Poodle. Audience cops, we're in the middle of a Scunthorpe Knife Awareness Week. We've put out surrender bins, advised retail outlets, visited schools and colleges, engaged with the community, even using pop-up police stations. That sounds fancy, but that's just a pasting table with a roll-up banner and two half-inflated balloons. The superintendent was pushing for results so hard that he even slipped out of his handmade Crockett and Jones velvet slippers and nipped out, eyes squinting, to briefly pose for the press. Success isn't just about how many arrests made and the number of knives recovered. Good job, really. We emptied the knife surrender bin at the local court. We found a sum total of 3 carving knives, 2 lock knives, a pair of rusty old garden secateurs and a tin of Winalot. Anyhow, time for a break, and so I pick up some fish and chips and take them back to the police station restroom. Open the cutlery drawer, typically, no forks. The irony, there are never any forks. Not so bad if we run out of knives, I can borrow one out of the weapon surrender bin. Might look a bit weird eating fish and chips with a 12-inch zombie knife. Does the job. Do people know what a zombie knife looks like? Pointed blade and weapon over 8 inches long, holes in the blade. There's a specific legal definition for these horrible things, but don't worry, you won't have one of these by accident. And we don't have a problem with zombie knives in Scunthorpe. Zombies, yes, all over the place. Can't move for them. Zombie knives, not so much. Would that be okay? I mean, legally, for me to eat fish and chips with a zombie knife, I'm at the police station, secure premises, is that all right? No. As they've now been outlawed, even on private premises, after last year's update of the Offensive Weapons Act. Audience cops, now is probably a good time to look at what weapons are permitted on private premises, as I now had time to pop over to see Mr. Franks. He invited me in. As I glanced around at his extensive collection of military memorabilia, it quickly became apparent that he was more tooled up than Edward Scissorhands. I'll tell you something, so we'll make it another round of legit or you're nicked. But this time in relation to what's permitted on private premises. Let me know if you think it's legit or you're nicked. In Mr. Frank's home was a pearl-handled cutthroat razor.
Legit.
On the wall above the mantelpiece, a 2-foot-long ornamental sword.
Legit.
Depends. If it's longer than 50 centimetres, 19.7 inches and curved, it's now illegal. Maybe we're influenced by the EU curved banana ruling. A medieval torture mask with bolts that screw into your eye sockets. absolutely fine. It's made for causing injury and so would be an offensive weapon in a public place, being your own home, knock yourself out. A brass knuckle duster in the drawer. You're nicked. You're nicked. Now on the banned list. Just to reiterate, in 2023, the Offensive Weapons Act was updated to include a banned list of items that used to be illegal carried in public, now banned even in your own home, including knuckle dusters, extendable batons, zombie knives, and curved swords. The legislation also reads, and I quote, if you have a legal sword, you may carry it outside your home for going to and from an engagement. What, like a duel? Or on a date with Penny Mordaunt? I'm sure some of you are thinking, what's it got to do with anyone else what I've got in my house? Well, if your house gets broken into, where do you think all those knives, swords and other weapons will end up? Probably in the hands of criminal gangs. Mr. Franks decides he wants to comply with the law and voluntarily surrenders his brass knuckle duster. I say surrender, more of an exchange. He had a Labrador and so I gave him the tin of Win-A-Lot that had been rolling about in the back of the police car. I make my mind up that Mr. Franks is a bit of an oddball, but he's all right. Don't get me wrong, if he invited me into his cellar to see what or maybe who was in there, I'd probably politely decline. I return to the Nick, satisfied with my work. Aureus Cops, it's been a challenging week. Let's see how we did. Some of you have let a man walk home with a 12-inch bayonet in a carrier bag. And some of you believe that a corkscrew was an illegal weapon. Jack the Ripper's cousin, John the Sommelier. It's been a success. We've focused on education and intervention. Even the superintendent cheered up when on the very last day of the campaign, the returns were boosted by Mr. Franks marching to the Nick with a box of knives and axes that he found in his cellar. I was just packing up the knife awareness stand in the town centre when a young voice inquired, is it true there's an amnesty on knives this week? I looked up to see a mop of blonde hair and realised it was Poodle. Maybe he was out for walkies. When I said yes, he pulled a lock knife out of his pocket and said, you best have this then. So much for my copper's nose. I asked, where have you got that, Joey? He replied, it's for my own protection. I said, Joey, sit down, son. We need to talk. Until next time, stay safe out there. Goodbye. It's a Fair Cop was written and performed by Alfie Moore. The script editor was Will Ing. It was produced by Sam Holmes and was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4.
And Alfie will be back with a new case next week. Tomorrow at the same time, Milton Jones returns with a plot involving a new pub, an old Brad Pitt, a furry George Clooney and some very suspicious beer. Thanks a lot, Milton Jones, at 6:30 tomorrow on BBC Radio 4. Where after the news tonight, Alice fears she's gone too far and Henry learns a trick or two. It's the Archers.
Do boys talk about things like this?
No, not ever.
We talk a lot about boys today, or talk at boys, but how often do we just listen?
You just don't know what the hell a man even is in today's society.
I'm Catherine Carr, and as part of a series of programmes across Radio 4 and 5 Live on boys and young men, I've been hearing from different boys about their hopes and fears.
You really think that?
Yeah. I'd rather be brought up in a different generation.
About the Boys, next Monday to Friday at 1:45 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.